Today, we hear one of the most well-known stories within and outside religious circles, the Good Samaritan. Jesus answering the lawyer who asks the defining question of the foundational Jewish faith statement, "Who is my neighbor?" In the telling of the story, Jesus answers using questioning rhetoric, and the lawyer knows the answer. He's no dum-dum, but he cannot bring himself even to say Samaritan, for how could this person, this Samaritan, with the wrong practices and the wrong theology, well, at least according to the Jews of that day, how could this enemy truly be the neighbor above the righteous, covenant-abiding rabbi and Levite? So the lawyer, even unable to give credit to the name Samaritan, answers, "The one who showed him mercy." And Christians have strived to live out this story in so many ways, recognizing the special place in God's heart for the marginalized. Jesus did not care about the faith of the Samaritan, which Torah he read, which prayers he recited, how he kept the Sabbath. All Jesus seems to be telling us is that actions matter. The Samaritan bandages his wounds, which was physical healing. He put him on his animal, so he was providing transport. He took him to an inn. He provided safe shelter, gave denarii to care for him, used his own earnings. Healing, transport, shelter, and monetary resource are all part and parcel of the call to look after our neighbors. And it reminds me of the letter of James. Be doers of the word and not merely hearers who deceive themselves. For if any are hearers and not doers, they are like those who look at themselves in the mirror. For they look at themselves and on going away immediately forget what they were like. And this parish, St. John the Divine, this parish is known in our diocese to be living out this edict, this calling. The downtown church that regularly looks after the unhoused, the downtrodden, the mentally ill, trying their very best to feed and clothe them. And it's known for its inclusiveness and acceptance of all. And if I didn't know any better, I would think Alistair set me up this week on purpose. After all, what new or fresh challenge or comfort can I give in this story that you are already living out? What wisdom can be gleaned from something so familiar? Once at a Bible study, a parishioner said that he believed that not one person, one group, one organization had all total truth. Rather, each has a thread of truth, and that is why we need to always listen, even to those we disagree with. For example, I don't always agree with the writings of Robert Farrar Capon. However, he does bring a fresh viewpoint to this piece of scripture. We can fall into a trap within the story. The trap I'm talking about is not included in the main thrust of the story. We all know that part. Be the hands and feet of God to all people. However, there is an undercurrent that needs to be spoken about that reflects our own understanding and the living out of our own very personal, intimate faith. Almost always, we see ourselves as the Samaritan. We see ourselves as the givers of healing, as the fighters for the marginalized, as demanders of justice. And yes, we need to be all those things. And yes, middle-income privilege allows that attitude. And for most of us, the work of looking after others is a reflection of our deep love of God. We are following in the footsteps of James, after all, and being doers of the word. It is love that compels us to keep going forward, humbly working towards bringing God's kingdom on earth. Yet in placing ourselves constantly in the hero position of the story and recognizing ourselves only as the Samaritan, an insidious attitude of hero-do-ism creeps in. It's subtle, and it's not arrogance, nor is it self-aggrandizement. Perhaps it can be viewed as a subtleness, a comfort of our own understanding of the role we take in our faith, a satisfaction, perhaps, that we are living the life we are called to live out. But hero-do-ism, and that's a word I invented, is detrimental to understanding grace. Capon puts it this way: if the world could have been saved by providing good examples to which we could respond with appropriate good works, it would have been saved an hour and 20 minutes after Moses came down from Mount Sinai. Salvation is not some perfect state after which we can lift ourselves by our own bootstraps after the contemplation of sufficiently good examples. It is an utterly new creation into which we are brought by our death into Jesus' death, and our resurrection into Jesus' resurrection. Salvation, then, is the abundance of God's grace and cannot be earned. The influence of the Protestant work ethic over the past century has led us to assume that we should be, or need to be, or want to be the hero. The Protestant work ethic says work hard, do good, never give up, and be the one who saves the person in the ditch. And that grace that we offer that person in the ditch, even when we do it in the name of God, does not compare to the grace God offers us. Hero-do-ism limits our vision of God's grace. Capon offers a reversal of the story. The man in the ditch is Jesus, and the man's brokenness is Jesus's passion, the torture, the beatings, and the cruelty of the cross. And the passion of Christ is redeemed not by good works, but by God's raising Jesus from the dead, an act of power and grace. Capon invites us to understand the suffering that we endure, the heartache of broken or damaged relationships that we weep over, the fear of the new diagnosis or illness that we cry in prayer for, the anxiety of loved ones, or finances, or whatever it is that we're carrying, is an entering into Jesus's passion. And the brokenness inside of us is healed, restored, redeemed, and sanctified by God's grace, and that alone. And seeing ourselves only as a Samaritan limits our vision of God's grace in our life. We become settled and satisfied in the missional work we do, rather than identifying with the passion of Christ. My husband retired from the Air Force in 2019, but before that he was servicing an aircraft deployed in one of the Navy ships. The ship was part of a NATO fleet that at that time was in the Black Sea and was trying to, believe it or not, prevent Russia from invading Ukraine. Now, we would talk regularly through Skype or telephone, but something began to happen. I knew he was in a very stressful situation and in a dangerous part of the world. And he understood that I was working and I was going to seminary, dealing with our adult children, looking after the household and all that that entails. We began to protect each other from what was really happening in our lives. Out of a deep love for one another and in an effort to relieve one another's burdens in our separate lives, we stopped sharing the intimate concerns, hurts, and issues. And we only shared the joyous and light moments. But it was a trap. For the intimacy we had always had in our marriage began to diminish. Once we identified what was happening, we addressed the problem and all was well. We called it Superman syndrome. Our heroic acts had put up walls that, while done in love with every good intention of protection, the actions actually prevented us from the fullness of God's grace in our marriage. And that, I think, is Capon's point. If we only ever see ourselves as the Samaritan and not the broken, we may miss the fullness of God's grace. If we are only engaged in hero-doism, we build walls that challenge intimacy with God. Jesus ends the parable with the command to the lawyer, "Go and do likewise." A clear instructions to be the hands and feet of God in the world. We are called to do that without a doubt. But Capon's point should not be discounted. The experience of grace in our lives is magnified when we enter into Jesus' passion. Can we enter into the story and see Jesus as the one lying in the ditch? As us lying in the ditch? Can we relate our own soul's sorrows with the passion of Christ? If and when we do that, how is our understanding of grace changed? How is the intimacy of our relationship strengthened from one of doing through love and the looking after others to glimpsing the enormity of the grace that God offers? Capon is trying to remind us that the kind of grace God gives is bigger than this world. And while we do need to look after the needs in this world, the grace offered to us is beyond this world and into the everlasting. Amen.